World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, I love my job. I love my job. I mean, I don't know if this is a job. I don't know. I want to thank all of you for giving me a reason to get up every morning. I mean, I have other reasons to get up every morning. But I love this. I just love this. And you know, one of the things that probably frustrates me more than anything is that people get offended so easy. We get offended so easy. And I think it's true of all of us. It's easy to somebody say something to you that you never ever get over. And really at the heart of all that is kind of selfishness and pride and all that kind of stuff. And I've stepped on a lot of toes here, not intentionally. I don't do it on purpose. I just simply ask questions that make people uncomfortable. And, you know, if we looked across the spectrum of the world and understood why people don't come to church, it's the same thing. When you're inviting them to come to church, you are really, really, man, you're messing with them now. You're getting into where they live. And you're going to ask them to come to church and they're going to hear somebody talk about Jesus. And he's going to say that you're allowed to do this and you're allowed to do this and you're not supposed to do this. And yeah, whoo, man, oh man. And some of you are out there just trying to convince your people, your friends, just even on the jab or just on whatever, you're trying to convince them. And they go, whoa, whoa. And then they don't want to talk to you anymore because they're all hunkered down and hunkered in on what they believe, whether it be religion. See, religion is not Christianity. It's not Mormonism. It's not Mohammedism. Religion is a belief system. That's what a religion is. And for most Americans, we are being given our religion through the boob tube or through the internet or whatever. We are hearing propaganda 24 hours a day of things that are not true. And whether you will admit it or not, you are being propagandized by the media and you will find yourself repeating things you heard on the air everywhere. And that's why they call it the propaganda arm of the Democratic Party. But to see, it's not to relax. It ain't about parties, okay? But there's no doubt that one party is clearly promoting the Luciferian agenda, clearly. And whether we want to talk about the lesser of two evils, folks, we deal with the lesser two evils every day of our lives, every day of our lives. My wife makes a beautiful meal and puts it out. Last night, she made this unbelievable macaroni and cheese. She made this great macaroni and cheese, and then she also had this great, I don't know, some kind of beef over there, and then she had something else, and I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to choose between the lesser of two evils or the greater of two goods, and I buried my face in her macaroni. It was really good. It wasn't that I didn't want the beef. I had to make a decision. That's what life is, and I don't hate her because she made beef. I just like the macaroni. But what we've done in American society, in American culture, is we have swallowed the propaganda line. That's why people come and go in here, because sometimes I step on too many toes. It's okay if I step on that little toe. But boy, if I step on that big toe, whoa. Anyway, we got to be praying for Dale Socha's son, Levi, who's dealing with some type of... Are you out there, Dale? What's going on there with Levi?
I'm here, Coach. So
Well, I don't want to get into the deeps of what happened, but what he has is a spinal fluid leak that's coming out in through his nose, which, yeah. So they believe that it's contained itself. They're hoping. They're just undecided with the CAT scans and the MRIs. But we believe that it is being healed. And so, you know, they don't let him get out of bed. They don't let him do anything, because the bigger concern is not so much the leak. They don't want infection to get in there, because if it does, it can paralyze him.
Sure.
We appreciate the prayers.
Yes.
He's up in spirit. I texted you about his schooling and everything going on there, but God opens a door, he closes another.
So I responded to Psalm 37:23. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the
Lord. We read it.
Lights in our way. And we either trust in the Lord or we don't. And believe it or not, the Lord has the ability to pick you up and put you on a path. Might not be the same path, but his promise is he'll make good out of it. So, Dale, we love Levi like you do, man. That big bundle of enthusiasm.
Yeah, he is, brother.
Yep.
I'm glad he's on our side.
Yeah, that's right. And so we stand with you on that. And I know there are a lot of people out there dealing with a lot of stuff, man. It's just the reality of it. Life sucks, doesn't it? Doesn't it suck? So I want to jump off. I want to head a different direction here. That it's really been, nobody likes to talk about money, but I'm going to talk about money today. Not sending me money. So relax. But money is at the heart of everything that's going on, isn't it, friends? I mean, it really is. And you look around at what's going on in America, and price of food going up and all that. And, you know, I found out just from talking to some people the other day, we don't really understand what's going on. We don't really understand what money is all about. So let me throw something at you that kind of blew me away. Where is it? What's going on? Where is it, Coach? Okay, let's do this. Pull up for me Zillow. Zillow, Z-I-L-L-O-W, Zillow. Not that. You can pull that up. That's not what I want people to see how to do this, okay? Z-I-L-L-O-W, just Zillow.com. So, folks, you pull up Zillow.com, and Zillow is a website that, for the most part, will tell you the value of your home. Value of your home. And all you have to do is type in an address. Agents, tours, loans, home. Type in an address, and it will give you the estimated home value of where you live. Hang on, stop a minute. Say, Coach, why are you doing this? Because we don't understand. And now one of the things that the government is trying to do, that Kamala Harris said she is going to do, is she is going to raise taxes based on new valuations of your home. You get that? And you understand that the new valuation of your home comes from what? It comes from inflated values of your home. When I started teaching, hang in there with me. Anybody out there remember my first job? I made the minimum wage in my first job. I was 16 years old. It was $1.25 per hour. You guys remember that? Guys, anybody out there remember that? $1.25 per hour. Because you better understand this. If they can control your money, they can control you. $1.25 per hour. Can somebody tell me, I mean, look real quickly. What's the minimum wage now? I go on the internet. I look at the people who are getting $15 an hour at McDonald's. And think, what? Well, how can a Big Mac still stay what it used to be? It's 15. Minimum wage is what? The government says $7.25 is the minimum wage in America. $1.25 is where I started, right? I remember my first teaching salary. I got hired at Mount Vernon High School, graduated from Otterbein College, got hired to teach at Mount Vernon High School, and I made, are you ready? $6,700 a year. $6,700 a year. Hey, Spence, keeping you hopping. Go on, please stay with me, folks. You're going to be glad you did. What's the average teacher salary right now, Spencer? What's it say? Remember, I started at what? $6,700 a year. The average teacher today makes what? Spencer's looking there. Does it say? Spencer, are you frozen? Am I frozen? Oh, there it is. No, that's not it. Average teacher salary. I don't know. Somebody know what a beginning teacher salary is? Why won't that pop open for us? I can tell you this.
35 to 40,000.
Well, where is there? It is medium. A starting teacher. Starting teacher's 40,000. I started at $6,700. Now it's 40,000 for a beginning teacher. The average teacher's making $58,000. Now the average teacher making $58,000 thinks he's making a lot of money, except he's getting more dollars. He ain't making any more money. Can I show you why? Why inflation is important? A lot of I was amazed how many people didn't understand this. So go back to Zillow, Spencer, and I want to show you guys something. Okay, Spencer. So put this in the chat because you all can do this on your own home. You want to know what your home's worth? Go to Zillow, and they will tell you what your home is probably worth. Now, that just gives you an estimate. But Spencer, I gave you, you had it up there before. Hebron, Zillow. Okay, folks, are you looking at this house right here? Please stay with me. I'm going somewhere. This is critical for you to understand. That home right there, Michelle and I bought about 7 years ago. And here's what happened. Michelle's father passed. When he passed, he left a little bit of an inheritance. And I said, I'm gonna invest it. I'm going to buy a property with it. I drove by this house right there. 7 years ago. Was it 7 years ago, Michelle? I don't know what it was. This is on Zillow, by the way. This is in downtown Hebron. This is a little three-bedroom house. And I drove by that, and I said, man, is that all that house cost? Are you kidding me? So I went out and paid cash for that house with my father's inheritance. You understand? My father-in-law's inheritance. I paid cash and bought it. Okay? Anybody want to know what I bought that house for 7 years ago? 7 years ago, I bought that house. You don't have to tell me. I'll tell you. $92,000. $92,000. And look what that house is worth today. $230,000. If you were going to go make an offer on that house today, it's $230,000. I bought it for $92,000. I sold it. I sold it for, stupid me, I sold it for, I think I sold it for $125,000 or something like that. I was happy. I said, man, we made a lot of money on it, right? Well, here's the reality of it, friends. Didn't make any money on that. Didn't make any. That house still has the same value. It simply takes more dollars to buy it. The dollar is not worth anything. The house has held the value. You with me? Now, I could go on here. I'm not going to do it. I could go on here and I could put up our own home. I could see, this is what Zillow will show you. So you take the Zillow app and you click it in there, and this is what your home's worth. And you say, wow, wow, man, I'm rich. Look what my house. No. Because we just found out, Michelle and I did, because the value of our house went up. Hey, Gino, how'd the value of my house go up? It didn't go up.
Yeah.
Did it, Gene? Did the value of my house go up?
Because if you took the value of gold, you could have bought the same for an ounce of gold. You could have maybe bought that house, let's say.
And dude, today, that's right.
You would sell it for that same, but it has more value by dollars.
That's right. So so now it takes more dollars to buy this house. My house is not worth more. The dollar is worth less. Are you with me? Now, look, this is tracking it. What do we call that? We call that inflation. Inflation. Now, here's the good thing, bad thing, whatever. Now, I'm just guessing. Instead of my taxes being $4,000 a year on that property, now my taxes are $7,500 on that property. Why? Because the government, who inflated my house, now tells me I'm richer and more of my money has to go to them because obviously my house is worth so much more. Are you with me? With me? And because we don't understand this, that we don't understand that the value of the dollar, that inflation is nothing more than the dollar not being worth what it used to be. Did anybody, when you were growing up, did you have a five and dime store in your town? Anybody have a five and dime store? Well, sure you did. And you went and you were able to buy penny candy. And I went to Dawson's in Hebron. Penny candy, penny candy, penny candy. So today, penny candy's a dollar. Why is it? The candy's more valuable? No, the dollar's no good. Folks, we're heading someplace and it isn't good. And I'm trying to help you understand exactly what it is that's going on. And then I could throw this one up in there. Excuse me. I'm running around a big circle. Stay with me. They're pricing us out of oblivion. I don't know how my children, Michelle and I, how our children, how can they possibly afford a home? How can they possibly afford a home? You want me to show you what my house is worth? Type, go to Zillow. Go to Zillow and type in 9541. Crisland, CRISTLAND, Crisland Road. Crisland Hill Road, I'm sorry. Crisland Hill Road. Yeah, Michelle said, don't tell people what our house is worth. Stop it then. I heard my wife yell at me. Oh, Michelle, good. Michelle said, she's smarter than me. Stop that. She said, I don't want people to know where we live. Okay, that's good. That's good. Anyway, I can tell you this. Let me tell you this. Michelle and I built this house that we are now in 5 years ago for about $220,000 5 years ago. And if I were to go there and show you right now, the value of the home's doubled. Now, is the home doubled or is the dollar not as good? Which is it? And so they have to make our money no good. If the only way they could control us is to make our money no good. So we're sitting around and you look at your bank account, you got money in the bank account, you look at your property and it's golly, say, oh, honey, well, boy, we really have made money on our property. No, you haven't. What's your car cost? What's a brand new car cost? Anybody besides me, remember, I bought a 1976 black Trans Am when I graduated from college. 1976. I bought it for $4,200. What's a black Trans Am worth today? Spencer, can you find that? Brand new black Trans Am, what's it today? I'm asking them all over the place, but I'm telling you, they don't teach us this in school. People don't understand what they're doing. Okay, what's black Trans Am worth today, Spencer? No. I want to know a brand new one today. What would a brand new Trans Am be today? Thank you. Okay. All right. So there. You think I'm lying to you, right? 1977? Well,
the best you could do is a Camaro. Look up a Camaro.
See what a Camaro is worth today. Please stay with me, folks. I think this is really important. We got to understand what they're doing to it. Man, so let's say the Camaro that's $32,495. Same car. $32,495. I know people who've bought trucks that are at $100,000, right? Right? Okay, so, Coach, what's the point you're making? We have got to understand, friends, what they have done to us with the money that is putting us in the situation that we're in. Now, illegal immigrants come across the border, and what do? They give them money. In fact, now, I don't know if you saw this, California is trying to pass a law that says immigrants get free mortgages on new homes. Have you guys seen that? Now, why is that? Why do they want to give interest-free loans to immigrants? Anybody know? No, it's not because they love immigrants and no, they want to be nice to people. It's not that. Why are they doing that? Because they want to financially break us. Right? Wasn't it Klaus Schwab said that you will own nothing? And love it. You're going to own nothing and you're going to love it. So I got to do this. Go to number. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go to number three, Spencer. Go to number three. Throw this up there. I'm going to open it up. Have you noticed I haven't asked for a dollar? I haven't asked for a dollar from you. Okay. Constitution, seven money clauses in the Constitution. Wow. Did you guys know that the only thing that is money is gold and silver? Did you know that in the United States of America? Seven clauses of the United States Constitution touch on questions that might be described as relating to monetary policy. You say, Coach, I didn't tune in Coach Dave Live to listen to money. Well, why do you worship it so much? Properly interpreted. Seven clauses regarding money. Number one, the seven money clauses going down. Spencer. Congress, this is Article 1, Section 8. Congress shall have power to borrow money on the credit of the United States. Congress shall have power to coin money, regulate the value thereof and of a foreign coin, and fix the standards of weights and measures. Hang on. If you ask yourself this right now, what's the American dollar backed by? The faith and credit of the United States. It's backed by nothing. Backed by faith. All right? Congress shall have power to provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coins of the United States. No money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law. These are all in the Constitution. The migration or importation of such persons as any of the states now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be profited by Congress prior to the year 1888, yada, yada. No state shall coin money, emit bills of credit, or make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in the payments of debts. The Constitution says only gold and silver. Now, the idea of the silver certificate was that the silver dollar, that you held a dollar in your hand, you could go to the bank and turn the dollar in, and they would give you a silver dollar. The dollar was designed. It was nothing more than an IOU. You went to the bank, said, give me my silver. Because why? People couldn't carry around all the silver in their pockets, so they gave them dollar bills, which they could redeem at the bank for gold and silver. Can you do that today? No. And in suits of common law where the value in currency shall exceed $20, the right of a trial by jury shall be preserved. So when you go to common law, when you go to trial, speeding tickets, all that stuff, if it's going to cost you more than $20, you know you have a right to go to trial by jury? Not some judge sit up in front of you. All these are constitutional things that we're not following anymore. You say, Coach, what is this? This matters. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Yeah. So not only have they done this to our money. Wow. Pull up number four, the Fed. Pull up the Fed. Just a quick little video. Play it at 1.5 speed. Very simple. The creature from Jekyll Island. You guys heard of that? Hey, hang on. Who controls the Fed? And who is the Fed? And where do they get their money? And when the banks borrow the money from the Fed, who's the Fed? And the United States government, who is supposed to coin their own money, we owe interest to the Fed? Who's the Fed? It's the American dollar printed by the American government. And we owe interest to the Fed? Who's the Fed? We don't have control of our money. Our government doesn't regulate our money. Janet Yellen does. Who's Janet Yellen? She's the one that says, well, we're going to charge you 2%, and then next month it'll be 6%, and then it's going to be 12%, and then we'll go back down to 0% because ain't none of it real. The money is not real. This real quick. The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you haven't read that book, you ought to. Go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to 4-Minute Book Reviews. My name is Joe Brown, and today's book review is about The Creature from Jekyll Island. I love this book. It was fascinating, and it was a history of the dollar and of the Fed and how the Federal Reserve was created and the history that led up to the Federal Reserve being created. I would recommend this book to anybody who is interested in a history of how the Federal Reserve was created, what they do, and what money really is. This book does border on conspiracy theory. However, it is fascinating, and there is a lot of documentation to back up some of the more crazy and outlandish claims that it seems like the author is making in this book. The one sentence summary for this book is that the Federal Reserve is actually a banking cartel that is meant to support bankers and politicians and robs the American citizenry of their purchasing power. One of the key takeaways or nuggets that I enjoyed from this book is that there were actually three central banks before the Federal Reserve was created. They all failed miserably, and they all led to more regulation and more destructive techniques on manipulating the economy. When you follow the history of the Federal Reserve and the central banks back prior to the first central bank, you arrive at the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers drafted the Constitution to specifically limit the government's ability to coin money. The Constitution says coin because they had experience with the government printing money. Each of the Founding Fathers had lived in a state that had tried a central bank before they were states when they were colonies, and that all led to massive economic catastrophe and local collapses of their local markets. So because they had all experienced the havoc wreaked from central banks in their colonies, when it came time to write the Constitution, they specifically outlawed printing money. Printing money was a way to create a currency that could be manipulated, that was supposedly backed up by gold and silver, but could be printed to be more or less than what that supply actually was in order to help expand or shrink the money supply. As imagined, this is a slippery slope and leads to temptations from central bankers, and every single time it was tried, it led to destruction. Even though it was outlawed, they were able to find ways to institute central banks three times, and each time it did not work, until 1913 when the Federal Reserve was finally created. This time it stuck. This book details the overall purpose of the Fed, which is to support government spending. See, the government usually spends more than it makes in tax revenue. In order to spend this extra money, it has to borrow it from somewhere. The government borrows this from the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve creates what's known as a treasury. So they print money to give it to the government and package that debt up and call it a treasury. That treasury is then sold to institutions or people or other governments as a form of safe debt. See, the government can always tax its citizens more in order to pay off that debt. One of the byproducts of this process is inflation. And as inflation takes off, it devalues the money supply. And by the time you get to 1971, there were so many dollars in the world that as the dollars were being cashed in for gold, there was not near enough gold to support it. And so Nixon had to cut off the gold standard, otherwise all of the gold reserves would have been drained. This never would have happened if there was enough gold to back up all the dollars in circulation. But in order to stimulate the economy, the Federal Reserve, in conjunction with the government, prints more money. The end of this book is a look forward into the potential future where the dollar ultimately collapses. It does look like a scary future, and it's one I hope never comes to pass, but it is one
that... Cut it off. So here's what's going on in America right now. We know this, right? These illegal immigrants are coming across the border, and we are giving them money. We're giving them cards. Friends, where is that money coming from? Well, out of thin air. And every time they print more money, you ever heard of something that's rare? I have a Mickey Mantle baseball card that is rare. It's very valuable. Why? Because it's the only one. If I had 10 of that Mickey, if there were 10 of those Mickey Mantle baseball cards, the value of the one I have would be less. It would go down because there are more of them. And so what's going on with government inflation? Your dollar's no good. Why? Because they've printed more Mickey Mantle cards. And they're giving Mickey Mantle cards to Mexicans and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, the money's no good, so it takes more to buy a hamburger, it takes more to buy gas, it takes more to buy everything, and all of a sudden, it takes more to buy your house, and then you get a tax increase on your house. You get it? You understand what's going on? And until we begin to understand how they are manipulating us and controlling our lives through inflation of a non-government entity called the Federal Reserve, until we understand what's going on with our money, We're not going to get it. And then think about this. You uncharge something on a credit card and they charge 16% interest on the credit card. Are you kidding me? 16%? I don't know if you're enjoying this, but I've been waiting a while to be able to talk about it. Now, hang on. One more thing. I'll get you in here, Roger. I promise you. How about this one? Bitcoin. Cryptocurrency. I know some people made a lot of money in cryptocurrencies. I know some people lost a lot of money in cryptocurrencies. And I went online this morning and I tried to find out, hold your ears, what the hell is a cryptocurrency? And the more I read on it, the less I understood it. Who controls cryptocurrency? If somebody gives me a crypto dollar, what is it worth? And what is it worth if they shut down the internet? So if we don't begin with sound money, soon Klaus Schwab is right. We will own nothing and be happy, because we'll just be happy to have something in our stomach. We'll just be happy to be alive. We'll just be trained seals, just glad that we got the next day's meal. That's where we are. And most of us don't understand it. Michelle and I just got a bill because our house is worth more. Our property taxes went up. It's the same house. Ain't nothing doing but different about this house. Other than they've been getting all the money to everybody else. And so in order to make up for that, they got to say, well, coach, your house is not worth more. Well, congratulations, coach. You're rich through inflation. You're rich. By the way, give us $1,500 more in taxes, will you? Because, man, you're really rich now. Yeah, it's a game. It's a game. And most Americans don't understand it. And there would be a plan. Well, quit using credit card, all that kind of stuff. Pay by cash, you break the system. I'll shut up. I'm all over the place. I'm sorry, trying to get it all out. Go ahead, Roger.
Well, Dave, first of all, great program. We haven't had this topic on for a while. You know, the Bible, there are certain topics that are repeated a lot, and money is one of them.
Sure is.
And I think the conversation and the looking at the concept of money biblically and then what our culture is doing is very important. And I would encourage more of this type of discussion. Problem with real estate, I think, also just now the problem is going to start developing. Can you sell it? You know, can anybody really afford it at that price? Now, well,
Roger, do I want to trade my house for paper dollars?
Well, no, you might trade it for some gold or silver or something. But the problem's going to start developing now is you have this nice asset. But can anybody purchase it from you? Now, it's always about price. Don't ever underestimate that. There's somebody that will swoop in if the price is low. But the average person wanting to purchase a home, that's going to start being the problem. And if you drive around any place, at least in Central Ohio, there are apartment complexes going up everywhere. Somebody knows something more than you and I of how we're going to live in 10 years. And I think it's all going to be the vast majority of people will be renting. But anyway, can you sell your house? That's the key. You may have some value there, but can you get that out of it? Are there enough buyers out there to purchase it for that value? And I think that's increasingly going to be less and less.
Because why? Because there's no value to the dollar, friends. Dollars, whatever they make it to be, whatever they tell you today, that's what it's worth. and money matters to all of us, doesn't it, friends? It matters to all of us.
And so nobody wants to talk about money. Yeah. And again, I'm not saying that there are other topics that have not been good, but nobody wants to talk about it. Well, the Bible talks about it. Let me tell you, the Bible talks about it. I believe next to repentance, Bible may be talking more about money than anything else. Now, I might be wrong, but it is at least in the top five. There's no doubt about the concept of money's in the top five, and nobody really wants to talk about it because it's not exciting. It's not exciting. It's not the future, but it's important to understand.
Yes. So here's my dilemma, and part of the dilemma, one of the things we have to think about. If the economy crashes and you have a bunch of gold and silver, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to trade it for? The dollar's no good. What are you going to trade it for? Well, I might trade it for gasoline, food, right? So a lot of money is going for, I think for a while, is going to go back into bartering. Look, I know of people who've made a lot of money in crypto, and I know people who've lost a lot of money in crypto, and I ask them the same question. What the hell is crypto? If you cashed out all your crypto, what do you have? Just digits in an account somewhere? Do you have anything you can hold? See, we're so programmed in that we don't even think that way. Kevin, come on in.
All right. So three quick points. You know, you said they're trying to break us. Well, that's Cloud and Piven strategy. To overwhelm the system beyond its carrying capacity to collapse it. Okay. And this has been going on a while. And it was actually the Birch Society came out in the 60s with revealing that plan. And it was exactly that. Ever-increasing spending, wasteful spending, ever-increasing taxes. Now, because you brought up the Fed, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson, but it was at least one of the founders said that a central bank is more dangerous to the people than a standing army.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
I mean, that's saying a mouthful. I mean, they knew what they were talking about. Okay, now, when you were bringing up the devaluing of the dollar, okay, so your house seems like it's worth more and more and more, but it's really the dollar, you know, less and less and less. Okay, so you can buy less with that dollar. But what isn't increasing? Okay, what's not increasing? Wages. You're not getting a cost of living adjustment right now. In fact, a lot of companies haven't given those out for quite a few years. So now it costs $400 at the grocery store when 5 years ago it cost $200 at the grocery store, but that's not reflected in your paycheck. And that's another way that they break the middle class.
That's right. So Spencer, real quickly, go to Kitco, KITCO. Kit, I hope this is beneficial to some of you. I know some of you already tuned out. Kitco. Now, friends, y'all heard of a dollar bill? A dollar bill was worth what? A dollar in silver. They printed silver dollars. A silver dollar and a paper dollar were worth the same thing. What's an ounce of silver worth today? An ounce of silver, a silver dollar worth today? Well, he's going to show us there. Why $30? That same silver dollar that your grandma gave you for a dollar to go buy her a gallon of milk is now worth $30. But it's not worth $30. The dollar's worth 1/30th of what it used to be worth through inflation. Are you tracking with us here, right? And so you put your money into the investments, and if you're putting it in the financial investments, then you got to pay taxes on it, right? So even when you invest, the money doesn't go to you. It goes to some banker somewhere, the government, income tax. Oh, my goodness. Gino, come on in.
I just want to remind about when Christ turned over the tables at the temple. Unequal weights and measures.
That's right. He hates it.
And he hates it. That is ungodly. It's been that way since the Federal Reserve.
That's right. And it's happened since 1913. That's when the Federal Reserve came in, right? And friends, they're getting ready to, they're trying to introduce to us different types of currencies. Now, we all know about Bitcoin coming in and Ethereum and all these other things that are coming in. When the Lord told us what? Gold and silver. The Lord said that, right? The gold is mine, the silver is mine. He didn't say the Bitcoin's mine. He didn't say the Litecoin's mine. He didn't say the whatever's mine, the gold and silver. It will always be money. Now, look, I don't know what's going to happen. I have some silver coins that are worth $30. But what good are they going to be to me? I don't know. I really don't know. Because I'm going to have to trade it for an American dollar. I'm going to take an American dollar for silver dollar? No, I wouldn't do that, right? So one of the things that we have to be really, really careful at is now they're doing a bait and switch on us, and they're going to change the monetary system because this one is clearly broken. But if you think they're creating a monetary system where there's freedom and liberty, you're drunker than a sailor. They're creating another monetary system that you trust in that they are in control of. It's a bait and switch. Johnny.
Good morning. Slavery. I'm thinking of slavery. I'm thinking about power and control. And this locomotive that they've got rolling down the tracks. Mm-hmm. We got to find a way to stop this train. This is just what you were talking about yesterday. Why do we pay taxes when we know? It all comes down to the same thing. Until we do something about it, they're going to gain more power, more momentum. You're losing the value of everything you've worked for. We're allowing all those illegals to come across. They get everything for free. They put the payment on the backs of us.
The children.
And when we're getting killed, we're the only ones that are going to be able to, we got to find a way to stop this train.
That's right. And we know this, Johnny. They're just printing the money, and they're letting the people come across the border, and they're just giving the money. The dollar clearly has no value. Now, Johnny, you're driving a truck. Where have you seen the fuel prices go in the time that you've been driving a truck, Johnny? Obviously, it takes diesel fuel. Now, folks, listen. You got to connect these dots. Inflation. Johnny drives a truck and he delivers the food to Kroger where you buy it. But if Johnny's gas prices go up, Johnny charges more to deliver the meat to Kroger. And what is Kroger going to do with it? Well, Kroger is going to have to make it an affordable price so they can sell it to you. But they have to pay overhead. They have to pay employees. They have to pay electric bills, light bills. Who knows, right? So all of this stuff, this inflation, makes all of us poorer, which is what they're designed to do. Johnny, what was gas when you first started?
Actually, diesel's down right now. It's the craziest fluctuations. You just never know how to target it, because one minute you think it's like over $4 a gallon, and then bam, yesterday I saw it for $3.03. You know, and I'm between central Wisconsin and Chicago every day, but it fluctuates. You're going to pay a lot more off the interstate. If you can go to the inside the inner cities a little bit more, you might get a little bit better deal, but it's completely unpredictable. But right now it's diesel's not bad. Regular gas is more than diesel right now.
Coach, I think your point is that in high school, we paying less than a dollar for fuel.
Now you're paying
more than $3.
Pull this one up for me, right. Spence. Hey, Spence, how much is a Big Mac? Anybody remember when you used to be able to get a Big Mac for 99 cents? Big Mac at McDonald's, 99 cents. What's a Big Mac today? Well, I'm going to tell you this. The Big Mac ain't more valuable. It just takes more dollars to buy it, right? Just takes more dollars to buy the Big Mac. Does it tell us what a Big Mac is? A standard Big Mac deal, that's a deal, in the United States is $10.19 for a hamburger and fries. Why? Because through inflation, all of McDonald's expenses are going up. And out in California, what are we seeing they're doing? They're raising the minimum wage, right? Come on, folks. Don't you see it? Don't you understand what's going on? When they raise the minimum wage and workers get paid more, everything goes up. You don't get secure prices by raising the minimum wage. You mean some guy at McDonald's could make $19? I think I saw that the other day. $19, $15 to work at McDonald's. Folks, the dollar's no good. It's not McDonald's fault. Kevin, come on in.
All right. So like we've talked before, money, the value of money is measured in purchasing power. Okay. So what you could buy 100 years ago for an ounce of silver or an ounce of gold, you can buy today for the
same.
You can. You can, right?
So you can buy, hang on a second. I want people to understand this. You can buy a gallon of gas for the same thing that you could have 20 years ago. It just, they've inflated the price. So it takes more silver, but it's all the same. It's all the same. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, you know, I've used the example of our antique wood stove. Okay. In 1905, when your grandpappy went down to the mercantile to buy it, it was about $22. That was an ounce of gold in 1905. But what does it cost you today? It cost you about $2,500 for that same antique stove, an ounce of gold. So that hasn't changed at all. Now, what I think is really neat, we know that silver and gold is God's money. And to paraphrase God, God says, I change not. Well, isn't it interesting that God's money, the value of God's money, changes not? Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that something? Huh? Isn't that something? So that whole thing has to crash. Gino, come on in.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you, when I was at home, we were a farmer and was going to buy a new tractor. And gasoline was at 18 or 20 cents a gallon, but you could get diesel for 10 cents a gallon. So we bought a diesel because diesel is a byproduct of by making gasoline.
Amen.
And now they've raised the price of diesel because of, I guess, the demand.
So, Gina, let me ask a very simple question. Why would the Biden administration be against drilling for oil? Folks, ask yourself that question. Why are they against drilling for oil?
Because we have it.
Because they'll make it cheap and they don't want it cheap.
That's right.
They want to break you financially. Are you with me? Come on in, Chad.
Well, the reason that the diesel's higher is because that's how our food is transported.
Uh-huh.
So supply and demand.
Yeah, that they control that aspect right there. See, they're making money hand over fist by just producing that diesel and charging twice as much for it. Yeah, they're making a lot more money on that. And then that also gets passed on to the consumer. Go ahead.
Neil, come on in, Neil.
I know for a fact that if you're going to run 27 trucks down the road for 2 weeks, you're going to have a fuel bill of $67,000. Just wrap your mind around that.
Say that again, Neil.
Yeah, the company that Johnny and I work for, they have 27 trucks going down the road, not all of them very far. But just for 2 weeks, the fuel bill is $67,000, just for 2 weeks.
Boy, oh boy. And so if the fuel bill is that high, then the price of the hamburger's got to be more, doesn't it? They got to make money. And by the way, the guy's driving the truck, they got to make money. The guy that unloads the truck, he needs a raise. So it's all done, folks, to imprison us and control us. And the founders knew when they said only gold and silver are legal tender. They'd been here before. A phony is a continental. You remember that? And so that's where we are. And there's a great monetary switch that's coming. I'm going to let Joe come in. Then I want to switch gears here real quickly. I got some good stuff I want to show you. Go ahead, Joe.
So what just happened to our info, our Social Security here lately? The whole system got hacked.
What's coming down
the pipeline now?
Remember the Social Security? Al Gore used to talk about the lockbox. Putting the Social Security in the lockbox. No, folks, the Social Security goes right into the general fund. They spend it. And we're billions and trillions of dollars in debt. There is no money. There is none. There's the illusion of money. And you have a pension. You say, I drove truck my whole life. I got me a pension. Well, good luck on that one. Didn't they already go through that with the Teamsters? Didn't the Teamsters already lose their pensions? Johnny, didn't the Teamsters already lose their pensions? And did I miss something? Neil, anybody? Did they lose their pensions?
Yeah, they've lost a lot of their benefits. I don't think there is much of a pension anymore if there is a Teamsters union. Yeah. They broke most of the companies. What they did, they busted the unions.
Yeah, they busted the unions, and they're giving all the money to the illegal immigrants coming across the border, right? Yes, Janine, look at the man behind the curtain. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Okay, I'm going to switch gears here. I'm going to switch gears. All right, cool. I do want to say this. A lot of people have quit going to church. Look, just hear my heart. The Bible teaches about a law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. If I go out in this field and I plow up my field and I plant corn in there, I can pretty much count on about 6-7 weeks later, corn's going to come up. If I don't go out and plant corn, there ain't going to be no corn come up. It's a law of sowing and reaping. And I want to help some of you out because a lot of you are eating your seed. You've quit going to church. You're not really giving anywhere. And if you believe that it's a law to sow and reap, then folks, you need to be giving. I don't care if you get money here. You need to be giving money someplace. You need to. It's your seed. It's your seed. And you think you're going to stay, your budget's going to stay good because, God, you can't afford to give any. I'm just going to sit here and eat my seed. Well, it's going to catch up to you. Just want to say, I'm not a name it, claim it guy, but there's a spiritual thing that happens when you give. Find somebody to give some money to. Hey, let me give you some good news here, okay? What, how about this one? Pull up number one for me. Pull up number one. Folks, we're winning. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Did you guys see this morning? Mark Zuckerberg finally admits they cheated in the election. He admits it. He regrets. Yep. He regrets stealing, colluding with the regime. He regrets stealing an election. You understand what this is? You understand this bombshell? And if you go down and read through it, he wrote a letter apologizing because the government would call him all the time, tell him, censor this and censor this and censor this. And he came out and said, I have to confess to you, we did it. We listened to the government. The Russia, 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 and anything that went against the Russia, 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 they censored it. They're fact checkers, or truth checkers, right? Zuckerberg says, "Yep, it's been going on. It's been going on." So we talk about the media government complex. There it is, baby. Zuckerberg just admitted three things: the Biden-Harris administration pressured Facebook to censor Americans. Number two, Facebook censored Americans. And number three, Facebook throttled the Hunter Biden laptop story. If you posted a story regarding the Hunter Biden laptop on Facebook, they called it disinformation and did not. You know, folks, you understand how wicked this is? You understand? Do you know they're still doing it now? Still doing it now. Listen, the dam is so getting ready to crack. The truth that is about to continue to come pouring out if the body of Christ will get involved. Keith, come on in.
Did he apologize for going to cross platforms?
Did he apologize for what?
Cross platforms? Wasn't he in with Twitter?
He hadn't apologized. Well, we know this, right? We know they're all mad at Elon Musk, because he jumped the shark. He's not doing all the censorship anymore. He's not playing that game anymore. And is it possible that because Elon Musk came clean, this guy came clean? Now, I want to tell you one other thing. If I can find it here. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Yeah, point number five. Clearing out the bottom there. Pull up number five, clearing out the bottom. Look at this. If you don't know this is going on, huh? Rigged polls are creating a false narrative to enable election theft, by Paul Craig Robertson. You know what we've been talking about? They're telling you all of a sudden, Kamala's the best thing to ever come down the pike. And oh my goodness, the unions are behind her. And everybody's, see folks, they're trying, the media is trying to give a false appearance of momentum so they can cheat. They have to make you think the election is close. I was reading a poll yesterday from a guy who's been doing it a long time and said, really, Kamala Harris is about 30%, maybe 30%, probably not that high. The Democrats don't even like her. But if you look at the polls, what do they tell you? Oh, she's neck and neck. Neck and neck, boy. Just those six states. Oh, my goodness. Those battleground states. Oh, yeah. Get it? You understand the manipulation? See what's going on? Jack, come on in.
Yeah, sorry. I fell off there for a while. I just wanted to give you just a little tidbit. The proof that the crash of the dollar is a plan is the warning label, the black box warning label on Federal Reserve notes since from 1913 to 1965. This note is legal tender. It's a liability clause. It's a disclaimer. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and is redeemable in lawful money at any Federal Reserve Bank or the United States Treasury. Because they knew, they canceled that. They erased part of it by 1965. Because you already thought that that piece of paper was a dollar, and they knew they were going to cancel the gold, close the gold window in 1971. It's a plan. So what's the plan from 71 to now? We better figure that out real quick, because now is now.
Amen. Kevin, come on in. I love this, isn't it? Huh? We're waking up, baby. Good, Kevin.
Well, the false polls, you know, they call those push polls. But that helps them build in plausible deniability for a steal. Right. So they can point back, oh, so, no, she was ahead, you know.
Yes, but, she had that momentum going. Yep.
That's right. All the momentum was on. But the thing is, you know, just a few days ago, Elon Musk put out, an unscientific poll, all right, said, who here, now remember, X is not just populated with conservatives. I mean, it's full of everybody. So it said, okay, so when it comes time to vote, will you be voting for Trump or Harris? This was at the point I saw it, it was over 5 million people had gone in, and Trump was 74% and Kamala Harris was 26%. Now that's a much more accurate poll than you're going to see with any of these oversampled polls. And on Zuckerberg, don't forget the hundreds of millions he paid for the drop boxes.
Hey, man, here we go. Hey, I'm running out of time. Roger Weaver just had a grandbaby. Claire Marie Weaver. All right, Rog, go. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. I want to show you something to encourage you here today, okay? Pull up. I got 5 minutes left. I can get it in there. Where is it? I just had it. No, that's not it. Then, no. Oh, I know where it is, Spencer. Hang on. Shame on me, Spencer.
Hey, Coach, can I throw something in quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
While you look for it. So on X, it also came out by Elon Musk that 55% of the population on X are Democrats. So
how
not only
that?
Does...
So there you go. There you go. Number two, Spencer, the Buckeyes. Look at this, folks. I don't care if you're an Ohio State Buckeye fan or not. We're winning. Look at the revival that's breaking out on the Ohio State University football team. Play it.
Hey, football players just did something on campus that I have never seen before. A free event put on by some of the Buckeyes' biggest stars collected thousands from the Ohio State community and grew even more throughout the night. It was all about sharing their faith in Jesus, which started with everybody coming together to worship, and the energy was amazing. Each of the players went up to share their stories of how their relationship with Jesus has changed their lives and how much God loves each and every person in the crowd. Courageous attendees took a leap of faith to come up front and pray a prayer to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and it only gets better. Late into the night, with everyone taking notice, person after person made the decision to get baptized, which is a public profession of their faith, and lives are going to be changed forever. These Ohio State football...
Wow. See, that should encourage us. You know why it should encourage us, folks? These young kids are so hungry. Not for freaking church and the mess around stuff that go on in churches and the pomp and no, not the pomp and circum, the music and the lights and the padded pews and all that phony stuff. But when you get out, by the way, this is one of the reasons they came after me when I was coaching at London High School, because this happened on our football team. This very thing right here happened on our football team. And you better know this. They hate Christianity. They wouldn't, nobody would care at all if it was Muslims or if it was, nobody would care. But boy, when the name of Jesus gets raised up, crazy, crazy things happening. Okay, hang on. We're winning, man. We're winning. It's everywhere you look. We're winning. But we cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. We have to understand the way the game is played. And once we begin to understand the way the game is played, then we'll get it. Stop using credit cards. Pay cash. Little things like that. Stop it. Get out of the matrix. Get out of the system. By the way, when's the last time you heard a sermon on that? When's the last time you heard a sermon on that from the pulpit? In fact, in the church, they'll tell you that you can put it on your credit card if you want to, your tithes and offerings. Oh, my. Jack, you got a minute left. Go.
Hey, Coach, if you were going to do something to hurt me, what would you do before you did that? Would you take away my ability to stop you or hurt you back?
Yes.
I think they did that in 1906 when they took away the militia and renamed it the National Guard and said, you people have no army because we're getting ready to screw you.
Amen. But we're figuring them out, baby. We're figuring them out. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.